On today's show, well, it's Good Friday. It's kind of a relaxed vibe, but Adam Ant's joining us.
He is, yeah. He's turning out.
So Adam Ant is with us after 2:30.
He certainly is.
Off you go. Anyway, unless he's heard this, Adam Ant joins us after 2:30.
He's turned up. We've got a picture of him in the studio.
Delighted to talk to him.
Adam Ant in the next half hour. This is Soul Wax. Soul Wax, recently been performing, they've got even more drummers than the Ant, didn't they? Who were noted for their percussive battery.
That's right, yeah. And Adam has an Anthems turn on, which he's collecting together all of his singles in a fantastic show. And we'll talk to Adam about that in a little while.
Sixth Music. This is BBC Radio.
Sixth Music.
Were you a soul boy at any point in the past, Adam Ant?
Not really. I grew up listening to a lot of soul music, though. But,
yeah.
I wouldn't describe myself as a soul boy. I loved Al Green. That was my favourite sort of singer of the lot. And a lot of Stevie Wonder, a lot of Tamla Motown, really.
Yeah. So that was Archie Bell and the Drells, 1969. And here I go again. Chainwise. Wigglyham, we're still looking for suggestions.
You can still get in with something on the chain. That would be fantastic.
Following on from the Fatback Band. But yeah. Adam Ant is with us. How are you this Good Friday?
I'm very well, thank you. It's a nice sort of sunny day down here. It's been on and off, but it's really nice down here at the moment.
Great. Mm. Well, take your leisure while you can, Adam, because you're going to be pretty busy over the next few months, aren't you?
Yeah, May. I'll be doing 18 shows up and down the country with this Anthems thing, Anthems Tour.
Yeah, so, tell people about that. Tell us what it is exactly what it says, I suppose, but tell us a bit more.
Yeah, a bit of a play on words there with the ants.
Yeah, but, great.
You know, why not?
Yeah.
It's basically the singles, but interestingly enough, I've found over the last sort of few years sort of playing around that there's almost as much of a reaction to the B-sides when I go and play. So people know the kind of B-sides to the singles just as well. So
right.
You know, when I do Christian Dior or You're So Physical or any of the, you know, Fallin' and Fat Fun, they get as much of a reaction as Stand and Deliver does. It's quite peculiar. So I thought, well, go out there and do a combination of both with a few surprises thrown in. So
it's funny. I mean, you are such a massive singles band and you're a singles act. But yeah, we were talking about the charts the other day and this farcical situation, the other chart, right. I think, where 9 of the top 10 were by Ed Sheeran because of the way it's worked out now. But right. I mean, really, at one point, you had 8 singles in the top 40 at one point yourself.
Apparently so, yeah. It was. I think that was the early phase of things catching up with the going on Top of the Pops and then everybody hearing Dog Eat Dog, and then the early stuff got released, the Young Parisians and the Deutsche Girls and stuff like that came out so suddenly, and Car Trouble and they all obviously had a different flavour, but people seem to pick up on them.
So. And it's also, I mean, you know, I don't want to quote your own press release back at you, and we'll talk about plenty of things, but it's a staggering figure. It says you've sold more than 40 million albums.
Something like that, yeah.
Wow. But apparently,
so you can't really, you know, grasp it, but it's part of that sort of generation of, you know, people went out and bought the singles and then and buy the album as well. So it was a different era, but very, very pleasing to know.
Of course.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk more. Let's remind ourselves of one of I guess in some ways, Ant music was almost like a manifesto, wasn't it?
Yeah, I realised it was going to be a bit of a, you know, there'd be interpretations, or it'd get called other names, you know, stick music or sort of something that I didn't want. So I stuck my nose out a bit, stuck my neck out a bit and got a bit precocious there and said, well, I'll call it Ant Music before someone else gives it a title. Because everything else had began from scratch, you know, with a new band and the two drummers and the new look and everything, separating it from the early sort of heavier Dirk era and took a chance. And it seemed to seem to catch on a bit.
So. And lyrically, it's a kind of manifesto, isn't it, for you saying, you know, that this is a new kind of music, I want to make a new kind of sound that's, you know.
Yeah, it was a bit of bravado there. It's sort of standing the ground, which I actually genuinely believe that it was didn't sound like anything else.
I think
you're right. Didn't look like anything else, so go for it. And people seem to respond, so.
I think you're absolutely right, and we'll remind ourselves about that now.
Thank you.
I'm not
Adam and the Ants, of course, and Ant Music, and the Anthems Tour, Adam and the Ants, kicks off next month at Newcastle Arena on Friday, May the 5th. Adam Ant is with us. I mean, it must have been thrilling times, Adam, because I remember I was doing a local radio show at Piccadilly Radio. The gigs were getting cancelled because the venues were worried about being able to cope with the crowds. It took off really quickly, or so it seemed.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed pretty quick for everyone else, except for us. It was sort of different because it kind of been a working band really since 77, playing all the clubs and the places you could actually play, you know, anywhere, any time really we wanted to play. But literally going on TV, doing Top of the Pops, and then the next day it was absolute chaos. And this happened. So we just buckled down and played wherever we could.
I guess it must be quite nice now, because Stuart and I were just looking at the dates.
Amazing.
And of course now you're playing in some of the country's finest acoustic venues, like, you know, the Bridgewater Hall and Birmingham Symphony Hall.
Well, you've added shows both those venues.
Yeah.
Yeah, amazing. Second shows in Manchester and Birmingham. And I've never played the Royal Albert Hall before, so that would be a first for me.
It'd be a thrill, won't
playing
it?
There. I remember going there when I was a kid to see Johnny Winter.
I sat behind
the stage because I could only afford seats behind it, and it was pretty good actually. I really enjoyed watching that. It was kind of part of my youth, listening to Johnny Winters.
That record came out while I was in my first year at college, and when it came on the jukebox, people would jump up onto the pool table and play it on pool cues. And I'm guessing that wasn't the percussion that you're using, but the percussion of that is fantastic. What is making those percussive noises?
It's a combination of Chris Merrick Hughes and Terry and a few of the rest of us, like, just hitting anything that we could in the studio. We went down to Rockfield. And we just had, you know, it was more like a sort of carpenter's benches with big bits of wood across, and just they were hitting that and anything we thought that could make some kind of percussive sound. We just, you know, drum cases and things, all kinds of manner of stuff. It was very experimental in there.
Gaynor's slightly younger, obviously. She says, I'm seven again, playing with my Adam Ant makeup kit.
Well. Now, it's interesting you say that, because Paul Puppet in Glasgow, who featured on our programme when we were up there for the Six Music Festival, he says, Adam Ant was my first musical hero. Back in primary one at school, I had an Adam Ant ring binder.
Wow.
And got very excited when Looking Magazine did some Adam Ant cut-out and dress paper dollies. And said, finally seeing him live in Glasgow next month. So, did you save any of those slightly odd Adam and the Ants merchandising items?
I tried to save as much as I could, because I was kind of, you know, because I'd been to art school and I was able to design things. I had a pretty tight hold on the visual side of things, you know, designing the sort of the, you know, covers and the and the posters and T-shirts and stuff. So I collect that anyway. Good art student I am.
Yeah,
Hornsey College taught me that.
Yeah,
so you know, I pretty much value anything that came across the board from outside. So I made a bit of a collection of stuff like that. And
you'll have to do an exhibition. Exhibitions are very much of vogue these days.
Yeah, one day it'd be quite a nice idea to do. But I remember they had a makeup company did something that they thought would be interesting, but it was a bit strange for me to see it.
Was it? That's what Gaynor must have had. Yeah,
it was a bit odd.
Two things, Adam, about that. I was going to say, with all due respect to Ed Sheeran, no one's doing an Ed Sheeran dressing up doll, are they? And you know what I mean? In some ways, that's a bad thing, I think, for pop music, you know. But also, you at Hornsey College, didn't Ian Dury teach that? Was he not your teacher?
I don't think it was Vivian Albertine. Interestingly, was in the year above me.
Wow.
And Ray Davis went there as well,
right,
I believe.
Okay.
So it was that was its kind of its quality. But it was quite an unusual college. And I made, you know, sort of two or three lifelong friends there, Daniel Kleinman, who eventually directed the Ant Music video. And you know, so I've got you know, good memories of art school.
Do you do the singles? Can I say this? Do you do the singles chronologically?
No. It's quite a tough one doing the singles. You have to sort of flow a bit. The main thing is to try and get them as close to the record, as sounding as close to the record live. And obviously, when you've got the advantage of a studio where you can experiment, because the singles are very experimental.
Yeah.
And trying to captivate that just with a six-piece band or a five-piece band, you know, that's the challenge. And every night I'm thinking, does that sound as good as the record, or does that sound like the record?
Yeah.
And I don't do you know, medleys and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I take them one at a time. So really, when you're in the rehearsal, space. That's the only time that you can really sit down and begin to put together the set. Doing them doing them sort of chronologically, I think, would be a bit
well,
strange.
Yeah, when the Manix did the O2 and they did all the singles they originally were going to do them chronologically and exactly the same as you said. Then they said, we're not, it doesn't work. We're going to flow better, we're going to do them, you know, in a kind of musical flow, yeah.
I think it's, I mean, recently, I've done Dirk Wears White Socks Live and I've done Kings Live. And,
yeah.
And that is really, you are, obviously, I did them in sequence then.
Yeah.
And that's very interesting because it's a bit like doing a play. It really
right.
is. You can't, if you decide to go in and do it in sequence, in the actual sequence it's recorded, then it becomes, you know, you've made that decision. And,
yeah.
and it is quite a challenge to do that because, you know, everyone knows the album.
Yeah.
And it's like word for word. It's like going to see a play. I
yeah.
find that very, very, very challenging. So this one's going to be a bit more, hopefully, a few more. I like it when the audience sing. I'm not really big on that, but it was quite nice in the last couple of tours
yeah.
to have them singing along.
Yeah.
And what's the current aesthetic then? What are your clothes? The last time I saw you, sort of very splendid, sort of slightly piratical, slightly Napoleonic kind
yeah.
of uniform. And what some people call the tricorn, although it looks like a bicorn to me.
Yeah, it's not. It's a kind of. It's not a tricorn. It's what they would have worn in the Royal Navy at the time.
Right.
I'm a big Nelson fan, so that's a kind
right.
of it's a more of a sort of naval 18th century
right.
design.
And is that the look you're going for? Does that work for you for this tour?
I don't know yet. I'm again, that's something that comes out in the rehearsal stages, and you know, you decide what's most comfortable. Be slightly different, I would believe.
Right. Okay. I mean, this was obviously successful. I mean, you're going over to the States in September.
Lot of dates.
So the Americans were big fans of this stuff as well, were they?
Yeah. Well, I just did a tour of the States. It's a couple of months back, and so we're going back again to do
yeah.
this particular show over there. So it's, yeah, but I think, you know, that whilst the, you know, the in the 80s, the video explosion was quite prolific, I always felt, well, that's nice and it's good that it's going around the world, but I really wanted to back it up with live work. So we actually toured with every album we made in America, bar Prince Charming, because it was just too big a production. But I've actually toured with every album.
Right, right.
So I think that comes back and pays off later in your life.
And
you know,
yeah, and you're kind of doing. You know, a lot of the times people think that the coast in America were you know, the hip places, and the middle of America doesn't quite get the newer things. They like traditional straight ahead rock and roll. But you're playing all that. You're playing the Pittsburghs and the Clevelands and Detroit and places like that, aren't you?
Yeah, I always have done. I've always played
yeah.
the backbone of it, and I think that was largely due to me feeling that, you know, an American tour for most artists from the UK was, you know, LA,
sure.
maybe one in the middle, maybe one in Texas,
yeah,
maybe, you know, and then the West Coast really. But I was pretty firm on wanting to go around the country, and I've
yeah.
been to pretty much every place you can play there.
And New Zealand and Australia.
But then
the
when you go to New Zealand,
well.
New Zealand and Australia, you're reverting to the Kings tour, are you?
Yeah, they want the Kings
right.
show, so there's going to be switching back to doing the Kings
right.
show in Australia.
So you're busy, but is there any time for working on any new music in the midst of all this?
Always doing that, and there's always plenty in the can. So when this is all done, I'll be coming with something new. So
right, great.
I always
okay.
have to do that. That's I just made the conscious decision to do this and enjoy myself, you know, by playing an album in its entirety.
Yeah.
You know, first
yeah.
Dirt, then Kings, and now this, and then come back and do get on with the next one.
Well, adam-ant.com
yeah.
for all the dates, but it kicks off on Friday, May the 5th at Newcastle Arena, and the last one is at Nottingham Royal Concert Hall on May 28th.
Yeah.
And in between, going to pretty much every major venue
right.
in Britain,
yeah.
and it sounds
yeah.
like a rollicking evening,
and the Albert Hall on Wednesday, May 17th. We're going to finish off with Young Parisians. What do you remember of this?
Well, this one, I do remember bringing it out, and the B-side was Lady.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, everyone's expecting Lady. At the time, everyone's expecting a heavy kind of punk number. So it was a very conscious decision to do to do Young Parisians. And I think it was a studio in Hampstead, and I wanted a saxophone player on it. And just to balance out what everyone thought it was going to be. So,
yeah.
But when I play both of them now, I'll hopefully be playing Young Prisoners live, but Lady certainly goes down a storm.
Great.
So, you know.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay.
Lovely to talk to you always, Adam.
You too. Thank you, Stuart.
Yeah. So go and see Adam on this tour. It sounds unmissable.
With
fantastic.
The anthem. Or should we say anthems?
Anthems.
Anthem.
Okay, Adam,
cheers
thanks
now.
A lot.
Cheers.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.
Belgians are so French. They love Patti Smith. Young Parisians are so French at the Champs-Élysées. I wanna go to Paris with you, just to see what the French boys do. Why don't you come to Paris with me, see the young Parisians. Alors, et maintenant,
French.
Well, they are young prisoners.
They are. Excellent stuff. I don't know if Adam's still listening, but we've decided we're all going to go to the Bridgewater Hall in full Adam Ant makeup.
Well, Jane in Edgbaston said, if I'd been allowed out of the house with a white stripe across my nose, age 10, I would have gone. First pop star crush. Melanie Hall said, the B-sides were always as good as the A-sides. Can't wait for the Anthems tour. Mark Adams says, sitting in Switzerland, says, me and my mate Keir went to see Adam and the Ants at the Cornish Coliseum on a year off working down there. Time may have rattled my memory, but we remember being blown away by a full-scale pirate ship pitching on stage.
The white stripe thing, Adrian in Esher had a friend who put it on his face in Tippex.
Right.
And had to rub his face red raw to get it off, says Adrian in is it, I never know if it's Esher or Esher. It's Esher, isn't it? Where George Harrison used to live. Yeah.
Is it? Right. I would have said Esher, but you might be right.
I could be wrong. These are the sort of details I love.
MC Escher.
These are the details I absolutely love. Rachel in Edinburgh sent this. Ant music, brilliant. And 14 again, and Tracy Teague is playing the drums on her lunchbox.
Nice.
That's brilliant.
Thanks again to Adam Ant.
Six music.
Gary Robinson says, I drew pictures of Adam all over my white wardrobe in black permanent marker. Wow. I was not popular with my mum.
It was great when Adam Ant listed the members of the band then. I can't be the only person who thought he was going to break into Ant rap when he listed all the members of the band, didn't he? Marco, Merrick, Terry Lee, Gary Tibbs and yours truly. Mark in Otisad said, talking of percussion, I recall watching them at the Kings of Life Frontiers tour. I caught Terry Lee's drumstick at the end of the show, rising like a spring trout to pluck it from the air, only to be wrestled to the ground by a horde of Geordie lasses and losing it. I have often wondered where that drumstick is now.
This is Six Music. Music.
Six music.
Play that for Mike in Mortlake. It says, December 1980, I stood next to a luminously beautiful Adam Ant on Tiswas as a 12-year-old. Also appearing were Wurzel Gummidge and the Baron Knights.
Oh, that was great. What did you get now? Just like Coldplay and the Chainsmokers record, 120 times a day. That was, the Baron Knights and Adam Ant on a pop show. And,